privilege to have Kevin with us this morning. I've known Kevin for many years, and my first impression of Kevin was back in the 90s when he was principal of St. Pat's School. And I walk into his office and hear plastered up on the wall, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love at the same time." And yeah, that had a huge impact on me, and I thank God for Kevin. He also serves with me on the board of Thurman Schools Ministry Association, and he's just a man of God. So, welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Dan.
We look forward to hearing what you've got to say.
Okay. Morning, everybody, and thanks for the opportunity to share. I've actually typed it up, so I'm going to read it, otherwise I'll forget what I'm going to say. But at the end, if you want to ask any questions, I'm happy to
Will
to
there be a test at the end?
Sorry?
Will there be a test at the end?
Test at the end, yes. And Bernie's really upset that I'm not going to talk much about football. Because I used to coach him on it many years ago. My topic is, what does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? And as I prepared for this talk, I was looking for inspiration. A friend had earlier given me a copy of a page on the thoughts of Ivan Illich, who was famous for his views on de-schooling education, which is another whole world to go into. Ivan was also a great South American advocate for the poor. He was asked, what was the most powerful way to change society? It's a good question, isn't it? Was it by means of political revolution, or by means of reformation through education or parliament? Surprisingly, he said no to either way. Rather, he said, you must tell a powerful story, or tale, one so persuasive that it sweeps away the old myths and becomes the preferred story and shines light into the future. In his book Storytelling, Imagination and Faith, William Bush states that God's story and our stories are original experiences. Maybe that is why we are made in the image and likeness of God, as it says in Genesis. Perhaps even we are paragraphs in the same story. Anyway, I received confirmation when I read Illich's article that I should share my story with you this morning and hopefully shed some light on the question, what does it mean to be a Christian in 2025? I was born in Mackay, North Queensland, on Wednesday, the 6th of June 1945, several months before the end of World War II. I have happy memories of my time in Queensland, and was blessed with caring parents. The family moved to Sydney in 1950 and lived in the inner suburb of Annandale. My parents were both Catholic, and my five siblings and I all attended Catholic schools in Stanmore, Annandale and Lewisham. My early religious education and faith formation was very much the small green catechism, which you didn't have to experience, thank goodness, and conformity to rules and regulations. Some of you will relate to that, I'm sure. We attended Sunday Mass and we lived our lives modestly and humbly. My education in faith was very traditional Catholic with a capital C. I had a strong belief in a powerful and omnipotent God. I reflect now that my relationship with God at the time of my life had a large component of fear, with failure to follow God's laws bringing punishment and the possibility of hell, fire and damnation. When I completed school, I received a teacher's scholarship to Sydney University. If I hadn't received the scholarship, no way would my parents have been able to pay for my education, university fees. I was 16 when I went to university, and I was the only student out of 30,000 who majored in mathematics and English. The only reason I did English was that I wanted to do French, but French and maths clashed. During this first year, I fell madly in love with a gorgeous blonde girl who was in several of my English classes. She was beautiful. She didn't know that I existed, but I was smitten. One day, both of us ended up in a remedial speech class together. I had to learn slower and with a deeper voice, especially if I were to become a teacher. My voice hasn't changed. I didn't learn very much. I listened as one of the therapists was trying to say to the blonde girl, "I want you to say after me, the rich red rabbit ran across the road." To my amazement, the young woman replied, "The rich red rabbit ran across the road. My dream was shattered, and I fell instantly out of love." I didn't involve myself in any of the social, political or religious life at university. I just went to university, then went basically back home. I completed a Bachelor of Arts majoring in Maths and Education, and then did a diploma in education to enable me to become a mathematics teacher. I was appointed as a maths teacher to Monero High School in 1966 at the age of 20. I'd finished 4 years at university and was ready to change the world. It was at Monero High that my Catholic faith was really challenged. I had made good friends with teachers at the school from the Anglican, Presbyterian and the Baptist churches. The United Church didn't exist at that time, who invited me to various Bible studies. It was called Andrew Fellowship. The friendships that I made there have been lifelong, and in June this year, 9 of us met at the Sailing Club in Gosford to celebrate my 80th birthday. 6 of those present had all taught at Monero High School around 1966, and the other couple, he was teacher of Kumanors. And Arthur Pierce, one of my friends, became a United Church minister. And although retired, he still does occasional services and funerals and is chaplain at one of the surf clubs around the Gosford area. In the Bible study groups, I was questioned and pumped about my Catholic beliefs. Infallibility of the Pope, the role of Mary, faith versus works, Mass and the Eucharist. As a Catholic, we said many formal prayers in church, and we said quiet prayers at home, but you just didn't pray aloud in small groups. When people would pray aloud at those Bible study meetings, and everyone would close their eyes, I used to open mine and try to see who these guys were talking to. These Bible studies and prayer times taught me many new things. So what does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? Part of the response to this question is the need to have a personal relationship with the risen Jesus. We can share our deepest thoughts and desires with God, who loves us unconditionally. God does not love me if I change. He loves me so that I can change. To be a Christian is to recognise that our Christian God is a personal God of love who yearns for the deepest possible relationships and intimacy with each of his children. We need to build and strengthen our relationship with God through times of personal and group prayer and sharing, a little like what we're doing this morning. I believe that God gave me the opportunity to attend Bible study to increase my personal faith and commitment to Jesus. My wife Marie and I had the wonderful privilege of running our own Catholic Bible study in 1966 in Cooma. And in those early years at Monero High School, I found greater intimacy and friendship with people in the Anglican and Presbyterian communities than I did in the Catholic community, even though I remained a committed and faithful parishioner at St. Pat's. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? To be a Christian means to be in relationship with others in our community. I believe that a genuine Christian life includes being part of a living community. The Holy Trinity is a covenant relationship of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. A Christian must model this Trinitarian relationship in his or her daily life. When people say they are Christian but don't belong to a community, I question if they really understand what happened after Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. And I quote from Acts 2:42. The disciples remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. They were in community. During my time at Manera High School, and Vern and I used to work together many moons ago, I became involved in the Interschool Christian Fellowship, ISCF it was called. This group was under the auspices of Scripture Union. It's an evangelical outreach of the Anglican Church in Sydney, I believe. But believe it or not, the time came when I was the only teacher at Manera High School who was involved with the group. I became, I believe, the first Catholic to ever hold a leadership position in the ISCF in New South Wales. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? It means that you need to be Catholic, but with a small C, and not judge others. Many people are turned off from Christian communities because of the prejudice and judgmental attitudes of many of us good Christians. Remember Jesus' words to the Pharisees. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you who are like whitewashed tombs that are handsome on the outside but are inside full of corruption. Matthew 23. I often think when I hear these words of Jesus that I was glad that I was not a Pharisee in Jesus' time. Yet, do I not have some elements of the Pharisee in my own thoughts, attitudes and actions towards others? To be Christian in today's world is to seek forgiveness from God and from our neighbour for our superior attitudes towards other people. When Jesus challenged the scribes and Pharisees, he was teaching us about our own prejudiced attitudes that we often have towards others in our church communities and wider communities. Each of us needs to seek forgiveness daily for our own sinfulness and acknowledge that there's a part of the Pharisee in each one of us. Early in my teaching life at Manera High, 1967-68, I married a young girl, Marie Luke, from Janelli in Sydney. Marie was 20 and I was 22. I count it as a great blessing from God that Marie was part of my life for 53 years. Marie passed away in August 2021 after a long battle with early onset dementia. We were blessed to be able to share our Christian faith with each other and to pray and worship together for almost all of these years. We both experienced a unique moment in our lives when in 1973 we were baptised in the Holy Spirit at a Catholic church in Queensland. The Pentecostal movement had swept through the world, and believe it or not, it even influenced the Catholic Church. Pope John XXIII had opened the windows of the Church to the world when he became Pope in 1958. He died in 1963. He was responsible for initiating the Second Vatican Council, which was held in Rome. The Holy Spirit was very active in the Church. Some members of the Vatican Roman Curia have been trying without much success to close the windows that John XXIII had opened. Some of you may remember that because of Vatican II, the Catholic liturgy, including the Mass, was finally said in the local language vernacular of each country around 1963. The Catholic Church was only 500 years behind the Reformation. Extraordinary. Unbelievable to think about. And there were bishops at the Vatican who were opposed for that to happen. Not a lot, but there were a few. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? To be a Christian today is to believe that the Spirit of the risen Jesus is alive and active in the world, just as it was at the time of Pentecost. If we don't believe in the power and presence of the Spirit, then our Christian faith is lifeless and dead. I do know that on the night that we received the baptism of the Spirit, two important changes occurred. We were revitalised in our faith, and we were given a prophecy by a Canadian priest, Father Reggie Mark. He told Marie and I that we would have a ministry to married couples. This prophecy was given in 1973. In 1975, 2 years later, Marie and I attended a marriage and candle weekend at Blackfriars Priory in Canberra. We were asked to accept the challenge of being a team member to minister to married couples. This ministry offer came 2 years after that prophecy in Queanbeyan, and we worked together in this ministry for 15 years. We saw firsthand the miracle of many healed relationships and renewed faith commitment of couples in their journeys together. The power of the Holy Spirit was very present in this ministry, and basically the couples were encouraged to go away for a weekend just themselves, and it was an intensive course in relationship building and faith building. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? To be a Christian in the world today requires commitment to action. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of my Father, Matthew 7. And whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, Matthew 16. And the last judgment, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you never gave me a drink, I was a stranger and you never made me welcome. As far as you neglected to do this to one of the least of these, you neglected to do it to me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, and the upright to eternal life. So what actions as Christians can we do today? We could have a little talk about that. Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, Lifegate Food Shop, aged care visits, hospital and prison visits, refugee support, support for the bereaved, Lions, Rotary, CWA. Just some of them. You must create your own story, just as I quoted Ivan Illich. You must tell a powerful story, so one persuasive that it sweeps away the old myths, becomes the preferred story, and shines light into the future. What is going to be your story when you come before God? During our time in Cooma, Marie and I produced 5 wonderful children. Someone once told me the only thing you can take with you to heaven are your children. Children bring many joys, happiness, many grey hairs, or perhaps no hair at all. What they sometimes bring are great challenges, heartaches and suffering. As some of you may know, our eldest daughter Jodie was born in 1969 with cerebral palsy and a moderate to severe hearing loss. She was a beautiful looking baby that was not moving around at all. We eventually had her examined in Canberra by a team of specialists, and they told us that they didn't really know what was wrong with her, but that she'd probably be a hopeless case and we should just take her back to Cooma. I remember Marie and I standing there totally stunned. We were both determined that she would not be a hopeless case. Jodie never walked without 2 walking sticks. She went to Cooma Public and Monero High, where she had one of the most outstanding teachers that I've ever met. Her name was Arlene Stowe. She's still alive and lives in Hobart with her husband Ron. And she took, there was an outbreak of German measles in the 70s, and she had 7 or 8 deaf children. Jodie was probably the least deaf of all of them. The others were profoundly deaf. And every one of them got jobs. And she took them from the time, well, when Jodie went to school, she couldn't walk. She'd go around on a skateboard, lying flat. And the teacher took them to the time she was 16, at Monero High as well, travelling. Jodie left school at the end of year 10 and went to a TAFE course, at Cooma Tate. She managed to drive a car using hand controls and worked for Snowy Hydro for 10 years. She was married for several years but before developing cancer of the esophagus. Jodie had major surgery in April 2010 at the Canberra Hospital, but sadly spent the next 8 months in hospital before passing away at Clare Holland House. She was 40. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? Being a Christian today is to accept trials and sufferings as part of everyday life. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And his response was, why not? Jesus didn't promise a life without suffering. Amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So whoever loves life will lose it, and whoever hates life in this world will preserve it for all eternity. That's John 12. I remember when Jodie was 15 and I was sitting with her and she said to me, Dad, why am I handicapped? She was sitting on the bed in her bedroom. I replied, I don't know the answer to that question and that we may never know. Sometimes things in life are very unfair and we have to accept that life is mysterious. It is at these times we just have to be faithful and trust in the mercy of God. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? I've been declined from 1960 until the 90s could be called the psychological era. Bible scholars and lay people have analysed the Gospels from a psychological perspective. I believe that much of this research has been fruitful and revealing, but any analysis that leaves out the cross and crucifixion or tries to give superficial answers to the difficulties that suffering brings is not genuinely Christian. Jesus would have some strong words to say about the television evangelists who promise happiness through monetary success by following Jesus. I consider this to be much the antithesis of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. Christians who interpret the Bible too literally sometimes miss opportunities to explore the deeper mysteries of life. Professionally, I worked at Monero High for 15 years, where I was head of maths for over 10. I relieved as deputy principal and had 3 months as principal. I enjoyed my time at Monero and made many lifelong friends. However, I sensed that God was calling me to be able to share my Christian faith more openly with the students. I resigned my position at Monero and became assistant principal at St. Pat's in 1981. I served in this role for 6 years before being appointed as principal in 1986, and I spent the next 15 years in that role. The school was on 4 campuses, and students were enrolled from kindergarten to year 10. School population was about 560, and it was during this time that I met Steve Randell, who had come to our school to distribute copies of the New Testament to the year 7 students. During my time as principal, I felt and needed the presence of the Holy Spirit in all my interactions with staff, students, parents and the wider community. One of the ways I remained calm and focused was reciting short scripture verses in my prayer time, and when I would do laps at the pool, I would often meditate with the scripture verses. I have several copies of it. There are some of the scripture verses. On the front of the scripture verses, on the back are just some general quotes, and I've got about 12 copies of that if people are interested. One of my favourites is Be Still and Know That I'm God, and the one that Steve mentioned, God has given me a spirit of power and love and self-control. And I actually took out the bit about fear. I think that it has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and self-control. During my time as principal, I was supported by my beautiful wife, Marie. She was a tower of strength to me, as well as running the family, including organising a child with disabilities, organising ladies' Bible study groups, and being a gracious host to any new members of the Catholic community. who would come for short or long term, depending on their employment duties, just like what's happening now with Salary 2.0. Once the children grew older, Marie was able to return to the workforce, and in her later years was in charge of the office at Monaro Hospital. She was responsible for over 15 staff and the overall financial administration of the school. During 2005 to 2007, I noticed that Marie had lost her father and was very flat in her feelings and moods. We went for help and followed natural therapies for months. She didn't improve. She was finally treated for depression and prescribed drugs to treat the depression. Then I noticed that Marie was struggling at work and forgetting things. One day she was driving in Cooma North and lost her way. And I've got to pay tribute to David Bryson and Ray Downey, who were really supportive of Marie at this time. We decided to see a specialist, George Stathers, in Sydney, who worked on with Marie for several years. Finally, Marie had a brain scan in Melbourne, and Professor Christopher Rowe at Rossman Hospital wrote to tell us that Marie had Alzheimer's disease and the amyloid deposits in the brain were quite advanced. Marie was 58. This news rocked our entire family, and we struggled to comprehend how this could be happening to one still so young and who had been full of vitality and energy. It was devastating. Marie took extended sick leave from Monaro High as she adjusted to life with her increasing memory issues. We had wonderful support from dementia advisors, Verity Jackson and Libby Smith, and we met Ruth Dakin, who was in charge of the daycare centre, that Eric would know, at Cooma Challenge. At this stage, I had resigned as principal from St Pat's and was back teaching mathematics at the school where I'd formerly been the principal. So because of the daycare centre, I was able to continue working part-time. I'd drop Marie off at 8:30 and then pick her up at 4 o'clock and then look after her for the rest of the time. Marie continued to receive services in the home from the Marimula Home Nursing Service, I think it's now called IRT, was run by Ian Douglas, and as Marie's condition worsened, she was eligible for a home care package. She might have heard on the news just the last day or so, the government are announcing 20,000 new packages. Now those packages, I don't know whether there's still four levels, but you start at level one and go to level four. Well, Marie got to level four fairly quickly. Now that was worth $50,000 in about 2015. It's got to be in the home. We never saw any of that money. That $50,000 gives you, Marie was getting the maximum care per week, which was 14 hours. Feeding, toileting, that sort of thing. And that gives you some idea of the costs. It'll be a lot more now because it's 10 years later. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, by mid-2016, Marie was unable to walk or talk. So basically, everything had to be with lifters and we had to feed her as well. I got a phone call from Verity Jackson. She told me she thought I was not coping, and she encouraged me to put Marie into permanent care. I reacted to those words and became quite angry. I thought I was coping okay. The next morning I was praying and reading from my companion book. Bread for the Journey. You can see that it's been well used. This was a gift from my United Church minister friend at the Australian Open in 2011. I had to get another book because this one collapsed. I can highly recommend this. Omri Newman was a Catholic theologian and lecturer. I think he's from Belgium. And he was very successful. But for the last 16 years of his life, he went into a large community in Canada and worked with intellectually disabled people. Amazing. Anyway, this was my reading, this is what I've been writing it. It was called The Virtue of Flexibility. So this was a woman, might have been Tuesday night, who rang me and said, "You're not coping," and I was pissed off with you. The Virtue of Flexibility. Trees look strong compared with the wild reeds in the field, but when the storm comes, the trees are uprooted, whereas the wild reeds, while moved back and forth by the wind, remain rooted and stand up against the storm. Flexibility is a great virtue. When we cling to our own positions and are not willing to let our hearts be moved back and forth a little by the ideas and actions of others, we may easily be broken. And that had a huge impact on me. I thought, what am I being told? So what I did, at 10 o'clock that next morning, I rang Yolande Lodge. And I made an appointment with Donna Sadler, and she was the director of nursing there. And we organised for Marie to go into care. But it took another 4 months before there was a spot for her. And this is happening today in Cooma. There's 40 beds at Yolande. There's 36 at Hudson House. So if there's no vacancies and people are in hospital and can't go home, where do they go? So Marie became a resident at Yolande in 2016. And under the leadership of Donna Sadler, who's wonderful, Donna is now in charge of Cooma Hospital. I was heartbroken at this decision, but I realised that I could resume being a husband to Marie and not her daily carer. The transition to permanent care for a spouse is a real time of grief and needs to be acknowledged more by our community. It is just heartbreaking. Marie was a resident at Yolande from 2016 to 2021. I would visit her each morning and feed her, and then return about 5 p.m. to feed her dinner. She was unable to talk or walk, as I said, but knew that she was loved. Unfortunately, in 2018, I had a serious anxiety episode and was admitted to South Coast Private Hospital in Wollongong and was under the care of a psychiatrist, psychologist and medical staff. I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I stayed at the hospital for 3 weeks. Just as an aside, that cost $15,000 and I didn't pay a cent because I was in the health fund. If you're not, you end up in Goulburn, and that's another story. I stayed at the hospital for 3 weeks. Upon my return to Cooma, several friends offered to help with Marie's feeding schedule, so I adjusted my timetable so that I had more time for relaxation and breaks. I also managed to have Leslie Spencer, some of you would know Leslie's music, come up each week and play the guitar for Marie. Marie was loved music. And when Leslie was able to come, she invited one of her students, Vernon Bradaman, to play for Marie. And he was wonderful with her. Sadly, Marie passed away on the 11th of August 2021. All my children were in Cooma and it was a challenging time for them. I had planned Marie's funeral well in advance, had organised Elizabeth Spencer's choral group to sing at her funeral and her special hymns. On the Thursday before Marie's funeral, the government brought in severe COVID restrictions and we could only have 8 people at her funeral. Thanks to Tony Barford and Sandra Mortimer from the Salvation Army, we were able to stream the funeral service and some of our family and friends were able to share in Marie's farewell. But sadly, we could have no live music from the choral group. At the cemetery, we had only 7 people, plus the funeral staff, to say our farewells to Marie. But Marie was a child of God, and on her gravestone are the words, adapted from Mark 1:11. You are my beloved daughter Marie, in whom I am well pleased. My favour rests on you. And each of us needs to say that. You are my beloved daughter, Vern, Steve. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. My favour rests on you. So just in conclusion, what does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? God loves us unconditionally. We need to have a personal relationship with the risen Jesus. We need to repent and recognise our need for God. We need to be in relationships with others in a community. We need to be a Catholic with a small c, not judge others. You need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. And a good test in your own life and the life of others is, are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life and in the life of others? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, trustfulness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's a very good criteria for judging people. In the sense of looking at their lives and saying, are they living a Christian life? And to be a Christian requires commitment for action. We're going to be judged. When did you see me? When did you visit me in prison? When did you visit me in hospital? Being a Christian today is also to accept trials and suffering as part of our Christian journey. Look what happened to the apostles. I think only one of them, I think, wasn't martyred. You know? And yesterday morning when I was finishing off this talk, I don't know where this verse came from, but it said, it's from Proverbs. Wise people can also listen and learn, even they can find good advice in these words. And I thought that was really relevant to the end of the talk that I was thinking. Yes. Wise people can also listen and learn. Even they can find good advice in these words. Proverbs 1:5. I've got some of these. Have a look. Just get have a look and then pass them back if you don't want to keep them.
Any questions, any comments?